Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa.
Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust. Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
You see, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. this salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Alrighty, good morning, Wind Dallas. Before we start singing, I'd like to ask for y'all to please silence your phones, put them on vibrate, whatever, and come find your seats while we start singing this song. And greet each other. Okay.
All your promises won't let go of me. All your promises won't let go of me.
I'd just like to say the scripture for today. It's Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. It says, can we read all together? But from there, you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God in later days and obey him. He will not leave you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them by oath, because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. Let's say verse 29 again. But from there, you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Amen. Last Friday night, I was really blessed by going to the Acts Youth group. All they did was just talk about what they learned throughout the week during their study. And there was this one woman who really, really struck to my heart, because she was saying that we all ask for promises from God, for him to do all these things for us. And all he asks for is our heart, but we don't even give that to him. And in order to receive all of the promises that God has for you, you have to really seek him with all your heart and truly seek him with all your heart. This next song we're going to sing, it's called The More I Seek You. And I'm just going to read it, to read the verses and the chorus. It says, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. And I just pray that all of you today, you just open your hearts and give God your heart today. Just seek him. Invite him into your heart.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
That again.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so
sing, the more I seek.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you.
just want to seek you. Come into our hearts, Lord. We know the plans that you have for us are not to destroy us, Lord. But sometimes we lose sight of that. And we doubt you. But Lord, we want to come back. We want to sit at your feet, drink from your cup, lay against you and hear you breathe, feel your heartbeat. You want to be close to you, Lord. Love song to him, so give him all your hearts. And as we sing it again, I just want you to focus on the words, focus on what it means to you.
I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you.
Shout it out from the mountaintops how great you are, Lord.
Pass.
Father, as we come before just listening to those words, nothing compares of the promises that you've given to us. That's why we stand before you, my Savior. Father, it is all about you. It is about you that you came again to this place. Father, we were lost and we needed a Savior. There was nothing that we can do that's in us that is so deserving, but only through you and through you only, Lord, we acknowledge that it is only through you that we step in faith and believe. And so we pray, Father, that today we've just been blessed with these songs, songs of reflection, Father, that our lives are totally and completely dependent on you and you alone. There is nothing that we can do. When we feel sick, Father, we ask that you would strengthen our bodies. When we feel like there's broken relationship, we ask that if you could restore them. It is only through you, Father, that all of these things can be healed. That's why we come before you, Father, today, acknowledging your greatness and your power. We thank you that you allow us to sing praises to you. And so, Father, as we come before you, hearing your words, as we hear our pastor speak today, that you would help us to be attentive and to listen to what the challenges and even encouragements that he has to brought forth to use this man today. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. We just want to welcome you. That we are so glad that you could worship with us today. And we are just very fortunate. Beautiful weather. It's one of those great times that we could come and worship before him. I just want to acknowledge a couple things. This box here and your heart. I just want to say thank you. Actually, really thank you so much for your commitment to the Lord. Because it really isn't about anything here in the ministry, but your commitment. The one thing I love is that it says in God's word, God loves a cheerful giver. And we just want to let you know that we have just been very fortunate that you support this ministry the way you ought to. And so I'm going to pass this along. And as I pass it, I'm going to say a word of prayer that God will bless it, use it the way he wants to manifest himself. And then we're going to ask our pastor come before us to share the word. Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for today. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. Those gifts, Father, we know in a weekly basis, you've always given it to us as we are able to go to our work. There are many people who have lost jobs. And Father, even today, they're still looking. And they're so dependent upon other provisions. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not let go of this church and how you have always continually manifest yourself by the provisions of the jobs and through that jobs of demonstration of entrusting their gifts to you, to this church. May we use it in a mighty way to reach people for Christ and to encourage the body. And we ask this, Lord, in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to come and share the word.
Thank you, Pastor Lucian. Good morning.
Good morning.
While I'm preparing my notes for today, I just would like to say one thing. I'd like to appreciate Sister Lara for that very wonderful choice of songs. Indeed, it is an amazing thing that you know, even the his word that we are going to share today talks about just sitting at his feet, you know, and just enjoying that moment wherein we have him, we fellowship with him. Amen. So it is just wonderful that how God really uses his word, you know, to minister to us, to encourage us. Let me take you to John chapter 12. Please turn with me if you have your Bible with you. And I know you are bringing your Bible because we are an army of God. Amen. We don't go to battle without our armor, without our equipment. You don't go to fight someone without the Word of God, right? So you have to be fully equipped. So we gather together. I know that we bring our Bibles with us. Amen. So that whatever I say here, you guys can check it out. Hey, is this guy telling what really God says, or am I just going to rely on what he's trying to say, even though I don't understand him? I think that's the fall of man. We just tend to listen to what people say and not really trying to, you know, get proof from what the Bible is saying. Amen. So let me turn to John chapter 12. Let me read it to you. Maybe we can read it here. It's NIV, mine is New King James. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag, or should we say the offering box. He used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Let us pray. Father, indeed, it is just wonderful to really sit by your feet, O God, and just really just take the time to be with you, to have fellowship with you, to absorb and just hear what your word says. We are so blessed that you have called us, Lord God, from our sins, from the worldly temptations, that we could come together and have fellowship with you. We are just so thankful that we are gathered here in your presence. And Father, we know, Lord God, that it is not only a physical gathering that you want us to be, but rather all our hearts, just like what Sister Lara mentioned earlier. We ask you to do things to us, and yet we neglect giving our heart to you. But Father, today we want to be in tune, Lord God, today. We want to offer our hearts to you and just listen to your word. We thank you, Lord God, for indeed it is a blessing to be with you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I'd like to bring you back to the text of what we have read. We know of what Mary did, right? We are not going to discuss if that was Mary Magdalene or Mary, the sister of Martha, right? But being a member of the small group Transformers, and we were discussing love languages, you know what came to my mind when I read this? It says, Martha served, right? And I was like, oh, acts of service. So Martha was practicing her acts of service. And then Lazarus was there, and he was having fellowship, quality time, right? Quality time. And then Mary, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and she has the gift of Transformers. Come on. What's that love language? Giving, receiving gifts or giving gifts, right? So, but I'm not going to discuss about that. What I'm going to discuss is about those two polar extremes that we have read. It tells you about what Mary did and what Judas said about what Mary did, right? Mary gave or anointed the feet of Jesus with an expensive perfume. And in some Gospels, it says like Judas actually told the people there, why don't we just sell the perfume for 300 denarii, right? And 300 denarii, that's a lot of money in those days. It's a year's wage. Just imagine your 1 year of wages. I was thinking about, you know, 1 year. And you give it all to a person, to God, right? In this instance, to Jesus. She gave it all to Jesus without not thinking anything in return. Why do you think did she do that? Why do you think did she do what she had done? Now, let me ask you one thing. Do you have $20? Can I ask for someone who can give me $20? There's enthusiasm. Nanginginig pa. $20. Is this mine?
Man, is that mine? Pastor just gave it to me this morning, so I'm just giving it back to him.
Thank you,
bro. I'm planning to go to Whataburger.
thank you, Brother Joey. $20, and I get to keep it. But he spilled the beans. It's not his. It's mine. Now, Brother Joey, let me ask you one thing. When you gave me that $20, I don't want to put you in the spot. I know we have not talked about this, but just one thing. Did you feel any reluctance or anything at all that, you know, like you don't want to really give it back?
No, because it's not mine. It's like, give it away.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. He said, because I know it's not mine. It's not mine. God loves us. We talked about that last week. Right? And in return, we tell him we love him. Right? But why is it that when God asks us to give of our lives, give of our time, give of our finances, we're holding back. We're holding back. Joey said, because I know it's not mine. It's not mine, it's yours. And I'm giving it back to you. What we have, brothers and sisters, even this life, this physical life, is not ours. He bought it. He paid for it with his life. Look at the seat beside you. If there's a person there, you're blessed. If there's no person there, an angel may be sitting beside you. But one thing I want to let you guys know. We don't want dry bones to be sitting there. We want real people who will worship God in spirit and in truth. We want people to be with us, to know about God, to talk about God, and to worship and pray to God with us. Right? why are we hesitant or reluctant to share God's word? Well, you know, me and Brother John, we were talking about it this earlier driving here, and we were thinking, you know, we don't give the time because we don't really have the time to do it, right? That's definitely some of the reasons that we give. But you see, even our time, it's not ours, it's His. Once we realize that everything we have is not ours, then, just like what Brother Joey said, it's not mine, so I'm going to give it back. It's not mine, so I'll have to give it back. If a friend comes to you and asks you for your time, what do you do? I don't know about you, but I would go out of my way, right? And go to him if he needs something. I'm pretty sure most of you would do the same thing, right? Why? I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like it's not right to just ignore that person, right? Or what we call in Tagalog, nakakahiya. It's embarrassing to turn that person down. You want to be polite. You want to show. It might not be the right motive, right? But most of us, we say, you know, it's really embarrassing to turn that person down. So, and he called me. Of all the friends that he has, he called me, and he wants me to help him out with this thing. So you go. But what is the most important word that you can think of whenever you want to do something for someone? Why did Mary do what she did? What motivated her to do what she did? Can I have a shout out?
Oh.
Jesus is very special. Okay. What else?
Out of reverence.
Out of reverence.
He deserves everything.
He deserves everything.
Love.
Love. Love. You see, Martha loves Jesus. Yeah, the people, they respect him. They revered him, right? But after a while, they turned their back against him. But love. Love is everlasting, right? That's the reason why couples stay together until they grow old, until they die, because of that love. And what do you think motivated Judas to care about what Mary did? Like as if he, you know, he cares about those things. Why do you think Judas says, you know, that why don't we just sell that perfume for 300 denarii and give it to the poor? Why do you think Judas said that? He wants a portion of it. Because Judas, you know, the verses that we read earlier, it gives us a hint already, right? Judas is a thief, and he is more like the, today, treasurer, one who keeps the money bag, right? One who takes care of the bank account, the treasurer. And eventually he would dip his hands into it as well. But because they could not sell that, because Mary just spent it on or poured it on Jesus' feet, then he can't just dip his hand to it and go to a store and, you know, smell this, yeah, I'll sell it to you for 10 denarii. No, he can't do that, right? Because it's already wasted. But actually, it was not wasted. It was poured onto Jesus' feet as her form of worship. The same thing with us. When we give our time, when we give our tithes and offering, when we give of ourselves to Jesus, to our God, it's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. And sometimes we neglect that, you know. And Judas, having an interest of that, that perfume, he has more like a selfish motive behind that. It doesn't really say that he loves and cares for the poor, right? But he just wants a part of that. Now I'm thinking, when I was reading this, where am I in this? Where are we in this, Lord? And I guess most of us fall in between. Do you imagine yourself on Mary's side, on Judas' side, or in the middle? You know, sometimes, my own experience, there were times like when you're writing a check, you know, to give to God, your tithes and offering, your tithes, you're thinking, when you're writing down the check, right? And then you're thinking, you know, this is a month's worth of grocery or something. And yeah, I could make use of this money, right? Sometimes we're like that. We're thinking that way. But God looks at our hearts. And that's the reason why once we give of our hearts. Right? And the Holy Spirit is teaching us that whenever we give to God, we always think that it is not ours to give, but His to receive, because everything is His. Everything belongs to Him. Yesterday when we were discussing about love languages, we were talking about acts of service. And we all agreed that whenever you want to do something like a house chore, right, washing dishes or what, although some of the chores are dreadful or burdensome, you don't want to do it. But someone said, but if you love your spouse and you want to speak that language of love to your spouse by doing that dreadful chore, then it's not a dreadful chore anymore. It's an act of service to your wife, to your husband. Do you all agree about that? Right? It makes sense. Now, how do we use that in our Christian life? When we give to God, what? Although we don't want to do it, but if we love God, we want that to be as an act of worship towards Him, then it should encourage us more to do it, right? God said to go to the world and share the good news. Why are we reluctant to share the gospel? Why are we reluctant to invite a friend to our church? Yeah, I remember Pastor Lucian when we met last Monday, and then Wednesday also we had that meeting. He mentioned about we should be more intentional of sharing God's word, intentional of inviting people to church. And I think that's very true, inviting people to our small groups. That is very true, that we should be more intentional, right? Because if we are not intentional and we just, when we meet someone, we meet our long lost friends or we get to talk to our neighbor, and the real intention is just to meet that neighbor or friend or be together, having fellowship with that friend, and we don't really share the good news. You know, sometimes we think, I don't want to really talk about this because it's probably taboo in their lives, right? It's awkward to talk about the Bible. Let me ask you, is it awkward for us to talk about God's Word with our friends? Someone told me, because if it is, then how do we know we are saved? How do we know we care about God if we ourselves don't talk about His Word? Sometimes the truth hurts, right? Sometimes it's an eye-opener, right? Sometimes we think of it as, oh, yeah, you know what? You know what? This passage really strikes a chord. It really strikes a chord. Did Martha in this gospel, did she complain about Mary being there at Jesus' feet? Remember one of the gospels? She complained, right? And notice that the words that she said. She did not blame Mary. She blamed Jesus. Don't you even care that my sister is just sitting there and I'm working here in the kitchen and preparing this food for you? Right? Or something to that effect. But in that passage that we read, she was serving with gladness, not with madness. I think we should all too be serving with gladness, not with reluctance, not with not giving of ourselves and of our time to God. Let me tell you a story. And I forgot to tell you the story earlier about Alexander the Great. I don't know how true this story was, but I just got this from one of the journals that I was reading. Alexander the Great was more like riding with his, should we say, entourage, you know, the one that we call it now. When the president goes out of the country, right, he flies with his entourage. So here's Alexander the Great, and he was riding in his entourage, and there was this beggar along the street or the road or whatever you call it. And the beggar stood and he tried to solicit alms from the king, Alexander the Great. And so Alexander threw him several gold coins. And the courtier said to him, I think copper coins would be enough for a beggar's need. Don't you think so, my king? And then Alexander said, yeah, copper coins would suit the beggar's need. But he said here, let me quote him accordingly. But gold coins suit Alexander's giving. Gold coins suit Alexander's giving. As Christians, during our time before, when we give to the Lord, even with our time, you know, we come to Sundays. I would come to Sunday church and stay by the door. I know I've shared this with you several times. In the very back end of the church, you know, and just near the door, and I'm just about ready to go before the priest starts speaking. Right? And when he starts the sermon, most of the time, I'm already out of there. That's the only time I could give to God during my time. But as Christian, now that you have known Him, now that you have experienced His love, especially we're going to Easter, this is the time when Jesus stayed in Ephraim, about 14 miles from Jerusalem, so that He could go to the Jordan Valley and go back to the city, you know, for the Passover. And He stayed with Lazarus' family. And that was the time when He was there preparing to go to the city. And the very next day, in this time, like tomorrow, He entered the city on a donkey. And everybody was what? Calling Him the King. Right? And they put down on the street their, what do you call this? The palm leaves? The palms, and they put it down so that he could pass and sitting on the donkey. A few days later, they crucified Him. He gave His life for each and every one of us. As Christians, how can we, what do you call this? Not to pay Him back, but how can we show our love for Him? By following His word, by reading His book. And following His commandments. Christ says, if you abide in Me, I will abide in you. So I know, brothers and sisters, today we read about this, about what Mary did. It is a wonderful thing that she poured and anointed Jesus Christ. She gave that gift that was given to her for Christ. And yet, what do we do with our talents? What do we do with our gifts? Let me read my notes here. When we give to God, there is always a purpose. When we receive gifts or talents from Him, there is always a purpose behind that. Mary's purpose, according to Jesus, was she was preparing Him for His burial, right? Remember when Christ was crucified, the ladies did not have the time to anoint Him in His burial, because when they came back in the cave where He was buried, He was not there anymore. And according to the scriptures, Mary was the one who, when she was there, the angel told her that He's not there anymore. Go tell the other disciples that Jesus has risen. There was no time to go back and anoint His body again. Right? That's the reason why the ladies were going back to the cave to do that. That purpose that she did that while Jesus was still alive. And God used that for that very purpose. The same thing with us. There is a purpose for every gift, even when it doesn't make sense to us or it doesn't make sense to others. You know, I have this gift, Lord, but I don't really know what to do with it. I don't have the time to share my gift. I don't have the time to share of my talent. Then we need to find time because we're giving it to the Lord. I don't really know if the church can really make use of my talent. Right? How would we know if we don't get ourselves involved? How would we know if we then don't get ourselves committed to the ministry? There is always a purpose why each and every one of us are here. And the only thing to find out is to be involved. You see, when I came to this church 6 years ago, I didn't know what my purpose would be in this church. I just came. We came from New York. Just imagine, God brought us here from New York. Just imagine Lucian and Sister Annie were moved here from Colorado. What do you think was God's purpose then? But what do you think would happen if I decided and my wife and I decided to stay in the church where the kind of church that we envisioned to be involved in? You know, when we came over here, we were actually looking for a church, a big church where we can get involved. But God drew us to a tiny little startup church with less than 18 people attending. 18 people attending. In a room that is only, yeah, up to this big or this small. When I opened the door, I was shocked. I was like, you know, this is not the kind of church I really wanted to go. And we have like two people in front, and the pastor was not even there. And the guy who was speaking was an elder, a Caucasian, and he was talking about revelation. He was talking about death. He was talking about the you know, the rapture. And man, I was like, the end times. Ooh, I was so afraid then. I was like, you know, that's the kind of thing I really don't want to be in the church with, you know. But what if when we went out of that door, I told my wife, let's not go back. Let's just stay in Dallas, Trinity Church. The church that my kids love because they have an amazing Sunday school. Yes. And they have three services. Wow. They have a nice sanctuary, air-conditioned sanctuary, and a great parking space. And they even have people directing you where you can park. Wow. Do you see anyone out there directing you where you can park? Huh? You choose your own parking space, right? But there, you know, they're directing traffic and it seems like they have this I don't know if it's a baton, you know, and yeah, just like Chase Oaks, they do that. So that would be a nice church, right? To stay in, to be there. But what do you think happens if me and my wife we decided to just stay there? The common word that Pastor Lucian, sorry to put you on the spot, uses is a bench warmer, right? I know we hear this in basketballs, right, or any sports, but I'm not a sportsman. So when I heard it from him, ding, you know, the last time I heard that was when I was back in the Philippines, you know, when you watch PBA, a bench warmer. So what do you think would happen if we stayed there? I guess until now I would still be a bench warmer, right? Because that's what we did back in New York. My wife and I, we were warming other people's benches, so to speak. We tried to get involved. We talked to Filipinos, you know, we wanted to be involved, and they just they look at me and they did nothing. So that was not the place for us, and God knows that. So he took us out and brought us here. The same thing with Pastor Lucian and his family. God took them out and brought them here because God has a purpose. The same thing with you guys. You think he took you out and brought you here just to sit down and have fellowship with everybody else? No. God has an intended purpose for each and every one of us. The only thing that we need to do is to be involved. Is to be involved. That's what I did. That's what I did. I told God when we were in New York, Lord, when we move to Dallas, I don't know what's there. I know it doesn't snow in Dallas, and my love would love that. My wife would love that. But the first year, there was a blizzard. But anyway, that's a different story. So I told my wife, yeah, you know, the 4 years I was in Texas in the 80s, it snowed only once. And it was more like less than 2 inches thick. So you would love it there instead of New York. But anyway, so we're here now. And God used the gift that He has given me. What is that gift? I don't know. But He's using me. He's using Pastor Lucian. And He's going to use each and every one of you as long as you step in and you make that big step to be involved. Because that's the desire of God. Our form of worship is to give our hearts to Him. And not to be reluctant, not to hold back. Because honestly, all we have is not ours. It's His. Let us pray. May I request each and every one of you to please stand as we pray. Father, we honor You today, Lord. We are just so thankful that You have called us, Lord God, from where we were, to know You, to learn more about You, to have fellowship with You, Lord God, to worship You. And we thank You for Your word, O God, Your word, Lord, that encourages, that motivates us, O Lord God, because we know, Lord God, we have been predestined. You know the life that we should, the life that we should live in this world. And You have prepared it for us, O God. But Lord, You have given us also a free will. You have given us that free will. To take hold of that life or to ignore that path that You want us to take. Now, Father, when we surrendered our lives to You, when we surrendered our lives to You, ourselves is not anymore in the throne of our hearts. But we want You, Lord, to reign in our lives and to guide us to where You want us to be. Help us, Lord God, to be able to step in to the plate that You have prepared for us, O God. That we would be able, Lord God, to go out there and share what we have experienced in You to our friends, to our neighbors, to our loved ones. That they also may experience that goodness, that love that comes from You, to share in the blessing of Your kingdom. Father, we ask You, Lord, to make us bold, O Lord God, and not to be more reluctant, not to take back, not to hold back, everything, but rather to be bold, be emboldened just like the apostles, the Lord God. When they preach the word, when they share the good news, Father God, we want to be like that, Lord God. Not for ourselves, but for your glory. Because it is your desire for everyone to hear your word. It is your desire for everyone to be saved. And here we are, Lord. Here we are, oh God. Use us, Lord. Use us. Use us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Sing "The More I Seek."
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Let's sing that again.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so
seek you.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Lord God, your love for us is so deep, O Lord God, and it overwhelms us. It overwhelms us, O Lord God, giving your life for us. But Father, it also need to motivate us that we need, Lord God, to really think about it. What you have done for our lives. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you have done on the cross for us. Our prayer right now, Lord God, is for that love in our hearts, Lord God, to drive us more. Drive us more, Lord, to do your will. Help us, Lord. Help us to step out of our comfort zone and just really, really follow you with all our hearts and mind and soul. For you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please be seated.
A couple announcements. Number one, Shawnee Park, Easter at 10:30. We're going to start at 10:30. So Shawnee Park, you guys, this is where we've started our tradition. So April 5th, Easter, the Shawnee Park. Okay? And did the women need to just meet or no? Okay. I would like to have the women meet one more final time just to get everything ready for next week. Number two, this April 25th, this is the women's group. Basically, again, you just want to gather. I think they're going to start looking for a CD, kind of just help and build that bridge for the women. I think it's going to be at my house. So kind of let your hair down kind of thing. Why were you laughing at my hair, huh? So May 10th, Mother's Day. So men, this is almost 2 months in advance for us to start preparing for something better than what we've done. We're going to have to do something on top better than what we did last year. And on the, May 30th, this is where the men's group will get together. June, there's be the children's zoo trip that we're planning. So I'm hoping that we could start planning that trip. And I'm talking about real animals, not this type of animals back here. The other things that I just want to mention quickly, Transformers, they meet on Saturday, which is the next slide over, at 9:30. This is still, I don't think they're meeting at the residence. This was just this past week. Is that correct? So it's just a 9:30 reminder. The Crucible meets this coming Tuesday. And the Conformers. I knew I was going to get beat up for that one. The Conquerors meet on Saturday. They're still going through the parable series. And I just want to encourage you to be participants. The Young People meets on Fridays. And yeah, so I do miss that, huh? Fridays. One of the things that I want to mention is this youth camp. So we're going to make a decision. And so I'd like to see all the parents that would come up here and let's just see who will be able to go in attendance so we can make a really good decision as to what we need to do next. And now, okay, you know that they're still in a fundraising mode. They still want to make some money to distribute to fund this initiative. And so they are having Hollow Hollow in the back. You know, this is everybody's birthday. So I want to encourage you guys to invest. It is an investment. One additional, I don't know all the names. So here's what I'm going to have to ask somebody. Oni, can you go over there and tell me the names of the person on the whiteboard? Okay, this is the birthday. So the birthday, this is everybody's birthday. So everyone whose names that Oni is going to say should come forward. Okay, come on down. Come on down, the price is right.
Birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Come on. Come on, chicken, chicken dance. Say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you again. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. You gotta come on one time.
Happy birthday to you.
Extend our hands to them, lay our hands on them, and pray for these people. Hallelujah. Father, we are just so thankful for the lives that you have given them, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for another year of blessing them and giving them good health, Lord God. Father, we owe it all to you. We pray that you continue, Lord God, to bless these people and these kids, Lord, as they celebrate their birthdays this month in honor of what you have done to them, O God. We thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Oh. Okay, one final song. Let's go and send off.
Clap your hands. Does my mic work? Oh.
You are.